Well, good morning, everybody. Need a little more. There we go. All right. Well, are you glad you came today? Amen. My heart is already full from all the wonderful worship that we have already had this morning. May the Lord bless you as you love Him and serve Him. I'm wondering, Josh Zoykoff, is he still here? Did he head out the back? All right. I don't see Beth. I didn't know if we had Juliana here today. All right. Do what? She's in the nursery. All right. Well, I was going to introduce her. That's all right. But we have another little baby here. Remind me of the name again. Alizea is here today, and this is from our Life Change group. We're always so thankful to have them here. And Alizea, welcome to our church. All right. Give her a hand. Absolutely. God's blessings on you. New life is always a precious and a wonderful thing as we add it to our life. We also know that we have the other end of life, and the great thing about being Christians is while the other end of life is a sad time in some ways, it is an opportunity to celebrate also, isn't it? Because of the eternal life of Jesus Christ. Well, it's important in our lives that we choose each and every day the direction that we're going to be heading, and I've got a picture of a, do we have a fork in the road there? All right. A lot of times we are nervous when we come to forks in the road, huh? Because we know we have to make a decision. But you know, I have discovered that life is not really just kind of a straight path. Have you noticed that? Life is a series of forks in the road. We are always coming to forks in the road because really each and every day we have to make choices about our lives. And how many of you have discovered that the choices that you make in your life to a large degree determine the way your life is going to go? And so the choices that we make in our life are important. Each and every day we make them. Well, we've been talking about how we can choose to have a deeper, more abiding relationship with Christ. And we've been talking about two different types of lives that the Scripture says that we can live. One is a life lived by our own desires. And our own desires, if we live our life that way, will always lead us to destruction. No matter how much we think we know or how much we think we've got life figured out, if we continue to head the direction of just living our lives for ourselves, it's going to lead us to the wrong places. But the Scripture says that we can live our life according to the Spirit. Remember what we've talked about regarding the Spirit. The word is pneuma. I want you to take a deep breath again. Oh, we can actually live our lives where the Spirit is breathing His life into our lives. And so as we're continuing to look at some of these steps that we can take to have a deeper Christian life, a deeper Christian walk, we will start here today by having a life where I will repent from all of the behaviors and thought and deed that keep me away from God, and ask God to remove each besetting sin through Jesus Christ. An important word today is repentance. A lot of times we think of repentance as something that we do when we get saved, and it is certainly something that we do, because to be saved, you have to recognize that you're headed in the wrong direction. God shows you a different direction in your life that you can walk and head. And by a willful act, we turn away from our old life and we turn towards a new life. But how many of you know that repentance is really a lifestyle? If you know that, raise your hand. Repentance is really a lifestyle. Repentance is something that we get in the habit of doing all of the time. Now, you can kind of misunderstand that if you're not careful. If repentance is a lifestyle, it doesn't mean that we just go out and mess our lives up all the time so that we can turn away from the bad and always turn toward the good. But what happens is that God begins to delve deeper into our lives, deeper into our spirits, deeper into our souls, as He begins to find things in there, and we begin to see that He's finding things in there that shouldn't be there and are not right. He's constantly going to be asking us to turn away from the old things in our life and to turn our life toward the new things that he has for us. So repentance is kind of the theme today, and I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. A very, very familiar passage of Scripture probably to many of you today if you have been a part of the church for a long time. It's the passage about the fruit of the Spirit. But this passage about the fruit of the Spirit also talks about the life of the flesh, and it contrasts the two. And I want us to look at that this morning with this idea of what does it mean to let God show you things in your life that shouldn't be there. Repent of those things by turning away from them and then allowing God to replace in your life the fruit that he desires for you to have. So beginning with verse 16 of chapter 5 in Galatians, we find this. So I say, live by the Spirit. And if you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So you see, we got this contrast going on again. We have this thing in our lives that wants to gratify the sinful nature. But the way that we make sure that we don't continue to do that, because if we gratify the sinful nature, it leads to death, leads to destruction, leads to bad things in our life. How do you make sure that you don't continue to gratify those things? Well, you do that by breathing in the life of the Spirit each and every day of your life. So we choose in life between two roads that are heading in different directions. Now let's look there at the next verses. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. Now, listen to this, because this is so important if you really want to grow in your Christian life. Because a lot of people like to play the 80-20 game. I'm 80% good, and I'm only 20% not so good. And we kind of say to ourselves, wow, that's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Man, you know, if we hit 80% of most things, we'd be in good shape, wouldn't we? But we have to understand that you can't be 80% good and 20% not so good. That's not the nature of what it means to live the life of the Spirit. What it means to live the life of the Spirit is to recognize that you got two roads headed in different directions. And so if you're always trying to straddle the fence, you're going to have problems in your life. So look at this last verse and what it says. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So they're in conflict with each other, so that if you're not careful, even though you want to live by the Spirit, if you're still allowing things to stay in your life that are contrary to that, it's going to cause you in your life to do things that you really don't want to do. How many of you have experienced that in your life? Man, I'm trying to do better, I want to do better, and sometimes what happens is by willpower we try to do that instead of recognizing that we have got to live our lives breathing the work of God's Spirit. So we choose in life between two roads. The two roads are headed different directions. So direction is important in your life. Now, how many of you would say to me in your spiritual life that if this were like, man, I am just the worst, I'm just a horrible, horrible, awful, awful person, to, man, I'm really, really doing good, and I'm really kind of proud of myself and don't do a whole lot. Where would you find yourself? You don't have to come up here and stand, okay? I'm not going to ask you to do that. But where would you find yourself? Where would you find yourself? Some of you may say, man, I'm over here. You just don't know the things that I've done. You don't know the things in my life. I've messed my life up, and I would just have to say, man, I'm over here. Some of you may say, well, you know, I'm kind of in the middle. I'm just, you know, I just don't really know. And then some of you might say, you know, wow, I've made a lot of progress in my life. I'm over here. How many of you know that what is important to God is not where you are at in your spiritual walk? Do you know that today? That's not what he is most concerned about. What God is most concerned about is the direction that you are headed. Amen. You see, if you're way over here and you are walking toward God and he is changing you and making you different and working in your life, then God is pleased with your life. Why? Because you cannot walk the direction of God without breathing in His Spirit. And you see, if you're not careful, you can get over here, and man, you're just kind of going, kind of feeling pretty good about myself spiritually. But if you're not careful, what happens is that you can begin to drift. Have you ever drifted spiritually? So what we don't want to do is we don't want to drift spiritually. Now, if we're drifting spiritually, and the person over here is drifting, and they're like right here, but the person over here who wasn't doing very good, but they're walking towards the Lord, which person is in the best place spiritually? Direction's important, isn't it? The direction that we're headed in our life is important. And so the scripture is telling us here today that there are two contrary lives again. The most important thing is that we choose to walk the path that God has for us. Because if we're walking the path that God has for us, then we are becoming what God wants us to be. Now, choosing is important, okay? How many of you have just, I've done this in my life, you walk up and you got a choice to make, and you go, I don't know. You know, I want to do this. I think God wants me to do this. But you know, if I do that, I'm afraid I'm going to have to give something up. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. And we sometimes we really don't know what to do. And we can get paralyzed in our spiritual walk with God. So while the direction that we are walking is vitally important in our spiritual lives, it is important that we make decisions. Now, the other day, I was headed towards a meeting in Loomis. You know where Loomis is? Loomis, just for Auburn, if any of you have been around here, almost to Sacramento. And it was a snowy morning, and I'm driving along, and the first thing that Gail said to me when I left the house is she said, "Take the chains." And I said to myself, I'm too old to put chains on. It's too hard. I can't ever get the wheel turned right. I don't know how to get that thing screwed in. I haven't lived in it. And so I thought to myself, I'm just going to take a chance. Well, I got right to the Donner Summit, and there was a policeman standing there with all kinds of lights, and he was saying, you don't have four-wheel drive, I can see. And I said, no. Do you have chains? I said, no. You're not getting through. Went all the way back to Reno, had to miss my meeting. What am I trying to say is, you know, we have to know where we're headed. We have to make the right choices in our lives. And so it doesn't matter if you're here, okay? It doesn't matter if you're here. It doesn't matter if you're here, or it doesn't matter if you're here. The most important thing is that each and every day you are choosing to walk the direction that God wants you to walk. Because you see, if you're living by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And this sinful nature is always going to be contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit and the sinful nature contradict each other. And so we have to decide direction in our life, and we have to choose that direction each and every day that we live. Important again, sarx leads to frustration and death. Pneuma to freedom and life. They both have now different destinations. And I want to read to you the destinations today. Now, a lot of times we think about these things that I'm getting ready to say as bad things that we do. And certainly they are, but they have a much deeper meaning than just bad things that we do in our lives. They are a part of a lifestyle that our world lives because our world is obsessed with themselves. Our world is obsessed with doing the things that they want to do when they want to do it. And we'll talk about where that leads to. Now, it says that the acts of sinful nature are obvious. If they're so obvious and they're so bad, why do we do them? Because we are controlled by them. How many of you really would like to believe that you're not really controlled by anything in life? We know we are, don't we? We're controlled by the television. We're controlled by advertising. When I look around today, none of you are dressed really, really weird, okay? Well, maybe a couple of you, all right? Just kidding, not looking at anybody. Don't come up to me and say, Pastor, was it me? You know, it wasn't you. We all dress. Why do we dress the same? Why do men dress the same? Why do women kind of dress the same? I mean, I know we move a few styles here and there, but we all pretty much dress the same because we want to be like what? We want to be like everybody else. And there's not anything wrong with that. Unless being like everybody else is leading us places in our lives that God doesn't want us to be. So the acts of the sinful nature, they're obvious, but if we're not careful, we get stuck in them because everybody in the world is doing it and acting this way. Let's look at some of these today. They're kind of grouped together. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Don't you love that word, debauchery? I looked that up and studied that just a little bit. It means a mindset toward evil activity. That when you get up in the morning, the first thing you're thinking about is, how am I going to do what I want to do and fulfill my desires? Don't care what it means to anybody else. Don't care what it means to my family. Don't care about this. Don't care about that. I'm just going to get up every day and I'm going to do what I want to do. Sexual immorality. Impurity, a mindset toward evil. Now, if I were to look out here today and I were to say, you can't lie and you're going to have a red light flashing on you if you're having trouble with any of these areas, I'm guessing there wouldn't be too many red lights here today on that particular area. And you know what happens is, have you ever categorized sin? You know, like there's really bad sin, and then there's like medium bad, and then there's like not quite so bad, and then it's not even a blip on the radar screen sin, okay? We kind of categorize things like that if we're not careful. What we have to realize now is that just because maybe you're not mired in those three, I want you to listen to some of the next of these. Idolatry, witchcraft. Now you're saying, Pastor, do you know what witchcraft literally means in the original language? It literally means to alter your brain chemicals. It means to use drugs and abuse drugs, to take things that alter the way that your brain operates. It means to open your heart to the demonic through the altering of the way that you think your way through your life. Hatred. Nobody here certainly has a problem with that. We don't hate anybody, do we? We're Christians. We love everybody. Let's be real, okay? Let's be real. Boy, the works of the flesh are strong, aren't they? The works of the flesh are always before us. Discord. Surely there's nobody here that would ever act in a discordant manner with somebody else. Jealousy. Fits of rage. Now I have to stop there. You know what I'm thankful for? Is I've got at least 3 or 4 people that come up to me every week and ask me how my driving's going. See, when you're honest, you have to be accountable, don't you? But you know what they do? They talk with me about their issues. And you know what that fits of rage is? I love it. It's like a raising temperature. And then it goes. Boom! You ever experienced that? You ever have that go on in your life? I'm doing okay. Boom! Fits of rage. Anybody ever have issues with that? Wow, just look on down here. Dissensions, factions, selfish ambition, envy, drunkenness and orgies. We'll just go right past that one, all right? Wow. I warn you, he said, though, as I did before, I warn you that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? That kind of wakes me up. That kind of says, wow, will not inherit all the things that God has for me. And why is that? Because you see, there's a commonality to all of the works of the sinful nature. They lead to brokenness in our lives. It's not that sometimes we read this verse and we think to ourselves, okay, you know, if I don't do exactly everything God wants me to do, then what he's going to do is he's not going to let me inherit the kingdom of God and just let me have it because I'm not living up to what I'm supposed to be living up to. That's not the spirit of what this is about. The spirit of what this is about is that everything that we ignore, everything that we push down, everything that we minimize, everything that we try to say is a sin that's over here, or all of that kind of stuff. Every time we do that, what we're doing is we're letting brokenness stay in our lives. And how many of you know that brokenness is contagious? When your life is broken, what happens to the lives of the people next to you? They can be broken. And then if they get broken, what happens to the people next to them? Then they can be broken. And you see, what we have in our world today, and sometimes if we're not careful, what we have in our families, what we even have sometimes in our churches, is we have cycles of brokenness. And the brokenness goes on and on and on, and it gets passed on, sometimes if we're not careful, from generation to generation. But now here's the good news. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many of you like a good piece of fruit? Oh, is there anything better than a natural tasting fruit? Well, I thought of a couple of things. Twinkies, just kidding. Fruit. Wow. You know, if fruit is grown properly, what happens? It grows the way it's supposed to. And then when you look at it, you go, wow, that looks good. Look at that apple. Wow. I'll bet that would taste so good. And then we walk over and we pick it off the tree and we go, oh, yes. It not only looks beautiful, but it tastes wonderful. And not only does it taste wonderful, but then you eat it and you know what happens down into your body? Your body begins to metabolize that apple and it begins to nourish your life. Do you know that your life is a piece of fruit? It really is. You bear fruit all the time. But how many of you know that fruit doesn't always taste good? We used to have this orange tree in our backyard in Southern California. And we were so happy with that orange tree. Man, it was growing and all this kind of stuff. And finally, a harvest of oranges. And so we let them get nice. And I mean, they were huge. Somewhere in there. Huge oranges. And one day, man, we went out there and lopped off one of those oranges. Whoop, broke it open. Cut a little piece off and went. It tasted like a lemon. And we started asking around, we have a lemon tree on the other side. Sometimes they cross-pollinate. Sometimes there's oranges that taste like lemons. I didn't think so. I think that person that told us that was just wacko. The thing tasted horrible. Now, when it comes to living your life okay? And this is not only important for you and your relationship with God, but you see, it's important for the life that you live out here in this world. It's important for the relationships that you have, whether they be close relationships with the people you love the most, the people you work with, or just the people that you are going to find yourself coming in contact with in the world. You're going to be one of two kinds of people. People are either going to walk up and they're going to go, wow, that doesn't look so hot. Oh, wow. And then what's going to happen is it's going to kind of nauseate them a little bit. You ever been a nauseating person? Things we don't like to talk about, right? Things we don't like to live up to. You know, it's hard to own what we've been. It's hard to own what we may still be. And it is hard to own what we might succumb to in the future. But the reality is that we all bear fruit. And the scripture says that if we are spirit people, if God breathes his spirit into our lives, if he does it continually, if we do the disciplines of the spirit, we stay in his word, we are in fellowship with other Christians, we do the things that God asks us to do, to continually be feeding and breathing in the spiritual life that God has for us. If we will do that in our lives, people will go, wow, that's a different looking piece of fruit. That's a beautiful piece of fruit. Wow. And they will walk up and they will grab that piece of fruit and they will take a bite out of it. And they will go, wow, that makes a good difference for me. And then what they won't even know is that it will go right down their gullet, their spiritual gullet, wherever that is. And it will nourish their lives and it will bring the presence of Christ right into their lives. You see, the commonality about the fruit of the Spirit is that it leads to the restoration of spiritual life. It restores marriages. It restores families. It restores churches. It restores workplaces. It restores people's lives and it restores everything around them. What is the fruit of the Spirit? It is love. It means that you start caring more about other people than you care about yourself. That's hard to do in this culture, isn't it? You know what the scripture says, though, that the more you care about others, the more you'll find all the needs that you have are met in the work of Christ. Peace. Peace is not the absence of conflict. You know what peace is? Peace is the recognition that God is in charge and in control no matter what seems to be going on in life. Joy. Oh, aren't you thankful for joy? Joy doesn't mean that you're always just... Are you ever suspicious about people like that? How are you doing? I don't know, you know, I don't want to judge people, but I'm always kind of going, really, that good? Joy's not the absence, okay, or it's not just the constant feeling of happiness. Joy is just the recognition that it's good to get up every morning. It's good to get up every morning because God is there and his spirit is there in my life. Patience. Let's move on to the next one. Doggone that one. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. Do you know why the body of Christ is the single most important place that God ever created for us to grow and be the people he wants us to be? Do you know why that is? Because it's hard to get along with each other sometimes, isn't it? It is. And what God wants us to do is he wants us to pay the price. He doesn't want us to constantly be walking around and judging each other all the time. What he wants us to do is to be walking around and connecting with each other through the Spirit and the power of God. Patience. People say, don't pray for patience. But it's essential, isn't it? Oh, have you ever met a truly patient person? Have you ever met a person where you just keep stepping on their toes and they just keep smiling back at you? Life-changing. Life-changing. Kindness. Oh, the world needs kind people. Are we tired of all the stuff that we hear? Oh, what would happen if kindness replaced all the stuff that we see? Amen. Goodness, just being good people. I don't mean goody two-shoes. I mean good people who make good decisions, who do the right things. Faithfulness. Oh, isn't it wonderful when you find people in your life who are faithful to you? Gentleness. Oh, is there anything more wonderful than when you should be getting smacked across the face? Somebody is gentle. Oh, they may have to tell you the truth. They may have to do something difficult, but they do it with gentleness. Self-control, where desires are not in control of you, but you, through the power of the Spirit, control your life. The Scripture says, against such things there is no law. That means that when the Spirit breathes life into you, you don't always have to get up every day and say, I've just got to do the right thing. I've just got to do the right thing. We will be bearing the fruit of who God is. And there can never be a law against those kinds of things. What does your relationship do with people? What kind of fruit are you bearing in your life? Commonality, it always leads to restoration. It always leads to a bringing back together of relationships, of life, of all the things that are important to you and to me. This is what the fruit of the Spirit is. So how do you do that? Here's some pretty stark language. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and its desires. Crucifixion, that's a pretty strong word, isn't it? It means we take all of these things that place us somewhere between totally rotten and really, really good, and we don't make excuses for them, and we say, I don't want them to be here. I know they're there. Lord, I don't want them to be there. I want them to be crucified for the sake of you. Crucify the sinful nature. You see, the issue is your freedom and your witness to the world. A quick video to close us this morning.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Excuse me, son.
Yeah?
What have you got there?
Got some birds, some wild birds.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you get them?
Got them in the field over there. There's a field with wild birds.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't mind my asking, what are you going to do with them?
I want to play games with them.
Games?
Yeah, I can play games with wild birds, yeah.
What kind of games?
Sometimes I like to poke a stick in there, you know, and they'll be like going, caw, 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 like that, you know? And then sometimes I like to rattle the cage, and they think it's an earthquake, and they love that.
What happens to them after you're done playing games with them?
Usually I feed them to my cat. You know, my cat likes wild birds.
I tell you what, I am fond of wild birds.
You are?
Yeah, let me buy them from you.
You want to buy my wild birds?
Yeah.
They're no good for nothing. They can't do no tricks or nothing. And when you open this gate, they're just going to fly away.
How much?
You're serious?
I'm very serious.
$5.
All right.
$10.
Okay.
$20.
They're wild birds.
They're exotic birds.
You found them in a field.
An exotic field.
All right. That's all I got.
See you looking at the cage.
Yeah. What do you got in there?
You know what's in there.
Mankind.
Found them in the garden. The funny thing is, they put themselves in that cage. I had nothing to do with it.
So what's your plans with them?
I'm gonna play games with them.
Games? What kind of games?
All kinds of games. I'm gonna put games into their life that they think is gonna bring them so much pleasure that I'm gonna turn the world upside down. I'm gonna make right seem wrong and wrong seem right.
And then?
They'll be damned for all eternity.
My father and I, we're very fond of mankind.
I know.
We want them to have access to us. So, I'm going to pay for their freedom.
You want these humans?
Yeah.
You know they've promised you everything before. They're going to turn their backs on you.
Some will, and some won't.
You're serious.
Oh, I'm very serious.
It'll cost you your tears.
I know.
Your blood.
Yeah.
It'll cost you your life.
I know.
You're willing to give your life.
I'm willing to give what it takes.
This reminds us about what Jesus did for us on the cross. He picked up that wooden cross and carried it to Mount Calvary because he loved you and me.
Skit guys are amazing, aren't they? How did they get Morgan Freeman? Holy cow, man, that's amazing. Wow, are you free today? I hope you are. I know that there's certainly some places in my heart and spirit God's been dealing with me in my life about my freedom. If he has spoken to you today about your freedom, God just wants you to be free. He wants you to be free of guilt. He wants you to be free of shame. But I do also want you to know today that it's more than just being free of your guilt and shame. It's being free from sin. He wants you to know that all the things that have plagued you all of your life, he can take those, and as time goes on, if we'll just decide to walk toward him and just keep walking and walking and walking. His concern is not where you're at. His concern is that he is making you into the person that he always dreamed and knew that you could be through the work of his Spirit and the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask our worship team if they'll come. And I'd like for us all just to stand this morning, and we're going to have a time to just sing and praise God. But if you're not free today, receive the freedom of Christ into your life. It is available for you today. The altars of the church are open for anyone who needs to pray. We have people here who can pray with you, pastors who can pray with you. We're just going to spend a little bit of time enjoying the presence of God, singing again. After we do that, we'll dismiss. But if anybody would need to pray, the altars of the church are open for you.